General Henry Hughes Shelton commanded Army forces in Vietnam and the Gulf War. He served two terms as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff during the Clinton administration. Now he's with MIC Industries, a manufacturing company. General Shelton's experiences in war and in peace led NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg to include him in her Tuesday series on power.
Hugh Shelton is retired now after his distinguished military career. In retirement, the 61-year-old four-star general recently survived an accident that almost paralyzed him. We will get to that accident later. But on this theme of power, General, what is the difference, as you see it, between military power and military might?
Power, that is the way that you use that might, and it can be great power. And you're noted as a great nation because of the manner in which you apply that power, or as we've seen from some tyrants in the past, like Milosevic and on back to Hitler, power can be used in a corrupt or evil manner.
But in a way, you're talking about harnessing it, so not simply unleashing it because you've got it.
Exactly. And of course, it can be used in many ways. Certainly in the military, you can use your missiles, your bombs, your instrument on the ground. Or you can use it as a coercive type of power.
As a military leader, General Shelton, you were known as a nice guy. Now, we were taught to believe that nice guys finish last. So how do you use power within the military and get as far as you have?
I don't believe that you have to be an individual that throws things, that walks around shouting and raving and acting like a maniac. People simply have to know that you mean what you say, that you're not going to scream and shout unless you have to. And they also have got to know that when, you know, up at a certain point, you'll lose patience and then you can get ugly pretty fast. But you don't have to do that day in and day out. People I found respond to positive leadership, respond to people that are enthusiastic about what they're doing, and people that don't abuse power.
Mm-hmm. You know, last week in this series, we spoke with an orchestra conductor about power. And she said that very often it means getting out of the way of this immense process of music making, which you have set in motion. And do you think that's true of military power, too, when the commander has to back off?
I think that's particularly true in the military. And you develop your subordinates so that they can operate off of your intent. All they need to understand is what it is that you want to get done. You give them your vision, and then you can kind of move back. It doesn't mean you don't check occasionally to make sure it's going well, but you don't have to look over their shoulder. And people respond to that type of leadership in a very positive manner, I've found.
In your time as chairman of the Joint Chiefs, you had no direct command of troops, and that was different from the experience, your combat leadership in Vietnam, also in the Gulf War. So what were the power differences involved there once you were not in charge directly of troops?
You derive a lot of power in that position from the position itself. The fact that you are working day in and day out with the Secretary of Defense, you are talking directly with the President, making recommendations, and you in many cases are relaying the orders and the actions that they're going to take comes through you to the combatant commanders.
Well, I saw an article in the New York Times 1997 that said you used jungle skills from Vietnam when you came to town. Watch your back, build loyalty, keep quiet until you're ready to move.
I wouldn't have put it in exactly those terms, but it's pretty descriptive of the way I tried to operate, and I felt very good about what we were able to accomplish during my 4 years.
You are U.S. Army retired now. What did you learn about power once you left it behind you?
I really haven't learned. I can't say that I've learned an awful lot. Number one is I realized when I was in office that a lot of the power that I had, power from being the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, was a direct result of the position, not of who Hugh Shelton was. I don't have a big ego. It was very easy for me to leave that office and become General Retired Hugh Shelton and get on with my life, if you will, in the corporate world, vice wanting to think that I was still walking around with a civilian suit that had 4 stars on it. That wasn't my style to start with. And so the transition for me, leaving that very powerful position as what I would call the number one military man in the world, was a relatively easy thing to do.
Yeah, that whole business of where the stars are they on the uniform or on the civilian suit, is very intriguing.
It is, and what I have found, and in talking to a lot of my friends, is that when you look at some retired individuals, and not just the generals and admirals, but it goes right on down, a lot of people make that transition very easily. Others have a much more difficult time with it.
I'd like to talk about your accident now, General. In retirement, it happened spring of 2002. You were doing some tree trimming work at home. A tree limb fell. It hit the ladder you were on. You fell down head first. You injured your spinal cord. You were told you would never walk again. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great.
Do you use a cane or a walker?
No. I was able to walk out of there after 84 days without either. Still have a weakness in the right leg. And still the right hand is not as good as the left is, but it's completely functional, and I'm just happy as I can be.
I wonder what that experience was like, though, in terms, again, of this theme of power, the specter of being physically powerless, unable to walk.
Well, it was even worse than that. It was unable to do anything. I mean, basically from the neck down, I could not move my arms, my legs, anything for about probably the first week. And only regained the use of my hands probably after about 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and then, even then in a limited manner. But I was determined. My wife, who's been an inspiration for 40 years, kept saying, if anyone can overcome this, you can. But the loss of being able to do that, just it gives you a whole new outlook on life. You really learn to appreciate what that faith, family, and friends means and how much more important they are than you ever really realized during your life.
I wonder how the qualities of leadership and the things that you learned about power when you were in the armed forces served you in rehab.
There's an old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I had heard that throughout my military career. That was what I was applying, that along with the encouragement I was getting, and not ever even thinking that I would not be able to get up from there and walk out. I just was determined I was going to do it.
Thank you very much.
Susan, thank you.
General Hugh Shelton, U.S. Army retired. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
Next Tuesday, Susan talks about the power of language with linguist Deborah Tannen.